I hope that you realize that living the Christian life is the best possible life that there can be. There's no other life that has the blessings, that has the honors, the privileges, that has the rewards that there are of the Christian life. If you are a Christian today, if you have followed that plan that God has laid out in His Word and through a heart of faith, a heart that has determined that you don't want to serve self anymore, you don't want to serve sin anymore, you want to serve God, if you have with that heart been baptized, the Bible says at that very moment when you were baptized, your sins were washed away. The Bible says at that very moment when you were baptized, you became a Christian. And when you became a Christian, your sins were forgiven. You became a child of God. At that very moment, you became a new creature in the eyes of God. You put on Christ. At that very moment when you were baptized, you became sanctified and justified, purified in the eyes of God. But what I want us to consider this morning are the verses from Romans chapter 12. And that's something else that happened when you and I were baptized into Christ. When you and I followed that plan that God has laid out in His Word and became a Christian, at that very moment, the Bible says that God added you and me to the body of Christ. And while being a Christian has an innumerable number of blessings and privileges that come with it, being in the body of Christ is one of the greatest. But you see, we don't understand that sometimes. Sometimes we don't appreciate that. We see ourselves as being a part of the body of Christ in a universal sense, in a large sense, with Christ as the head of that body. And yet sometimes we don't see our place in that body. And so Paul, as he does in Romans 12, as he does in 1 Corinthians 12, as he does in Ephesians 4 and in other passages, in order to help us to see our place in the body of Christ, he draws a comparison between the body of Christ and our own bodies. And he wants us to see that just as we have our own bodies, and just as there are all of these various members of this body, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, he talks about how our bodies have all of these members. And in 1 Corinthians 12 is where he talks about the eyes. He talks about the ears and the nose and the head and our hands and our feet. And yet in 1 Corinthians 12, he says that for the body to be complete, the body needs all of these members. And in Romans 12 and verse 4, it says, and while all of these members make up the one body, all of these members serve different functions. And just because our hands are not our feet, and just because our eyes are not our ears, do not mean that those members of our body are not important. They are all vitally important to the makeup of our body. And when Paul draws this comparison so that we can have an understanding of all the members of our body put together, the function of all of our members of our body being vitally important to our body, he brings that over to talk about us being a member of the body of Christ. And Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, so we, being many, we are one body in Christ. And what I want us to see this morning are those last few words of verse 5. It is not simply and only that when we became a Christian, that God added us to the body of Christ and now we're just lumped in there inside the body of Christ. That is true. And we are in the body and Christ is the head of that body. But the end of Romans chapter 12 and verse 5 also says that individually we are members of one another. When you and I became a Christian, you and I were added to the body of Christ and it put us into a new relationship with Christ. When you became a Christian and you were added by God to His body, now you have a brand new relationship with Christ as the head of that body. But also, when you became a Christian and were added to that body, you became a member. And not just a member of this body, but Romans chapter 12 and verse 5 says that you and I became members of one another inside that body. It not only gave us a new relationship with Christ, when we became a Christian, it gave us a new relationship with everyone inside that body. You and I, brethren, are not just members of the body of Christ. You and I are members of one another. And this morning, I want us to consider that fact, and I want us to maybe investigate what that means in order that we might have a better appreciation for our place in this body. What does it mean that you and I are members of one another? It means that every one of us is vitally important and necessary to the body of Christ. Folks, for those of us who are members of the body of Christ, there's not one of us who's more important than another. Do you realize that? Do you realize within the body of Christ that there are not some who are more important than others? There's no place in the body of Christ that one of those members can say, well, I'm just insignificant. I'm just not an important member of the body of Christ. If you are a member of the body, you're a member of one another as well, and that makes all of us necessary. That makes all of us important. All of us have great significance and great consequence to the body of Christ. When you and I become members of one another inside that body, we develop and have a mutual dependence on each other. Does it strike you that when God designed the church, that when God designed His plan for you and I to become Christians, that He didn't set isolated Christians out here to be Christians all by themselves and to be independent in their Christian lives? We became a Christian, and God brought us together into the body of Christ, where all of us have great consequence, because as members of one another, we all depend on each other. It's impossible to exist as a Christian independently of the body of Christ. The Bible says that we are members of the body of Christ. But if somebody tries to separate themselves from that body, say, well, I'm just not a part of the body, then you're not a member. And you can't use terminology to say you're a member of something. You can't be a member of nothing. When you became a Christian, you became a member of the body of Christ. You became a member of each other. And the NIV, if you use that particular Bible, while the NIV frequently does not give an actual translation of a passage, sometimes when you use the NIV, it doesn't translate a word-for-word translation. It sometimes gives more of an interpretation or gives what the thought of the verse is. But it's interesting that the NIV says that when we're members of one another, that we are therefore members who belong to each other. And I think that's what that phrase means. The Bible says that you and I are members not just of the body, but when I am a member of you, and when you are a member of me, then as brothers and sisters in Christ, we belong to each other. Do you rely, do you depend on your brothers and sisters in Christ? You're a member of one another. How much do we recognize that you and I are responsible for helping each other get to heaven? We're not just one single solitary member, isolated and independent within the body of Christ. We are members of each other with responsibilities to each other. So this morning, I want us to look at just these two words, the last two words of Romans 12 and verse 5. Those two words, one another. And before we look at them, I want us to just briefly go to English class. And I say briefly because I didn't like English class any more than you did. So we're just going to go there briefly so that we understand these two words. What do the words one another mean to you? Well, first of all, we need to understand the words one another. They're a pronoun. You remember what those are? I don't know if I should even ask for a raise of hands who remembers what pronouns are. But a pronoun is like he or she or they. And it's a word that refers back to the subject of that pronoun. That's what one another is. It's a pronoun, but not just any old ordinary pronoun. It's what English grammars call a reciprocal pronoun. Now you're really excited, aren't you? That you came today to learn that the two words one another are a reciprocal pronoun. What in the world does that have to do with a study of the Word of God? What is this a reciprocal pronoun? A reciprocal pronoun indicates that there is action going in two different directions. If we were to say a sentence that said, the kids were kicking one another. One another indicates what? That there was action going in both directions. If we said that she was kicking him, we understand there's action only going in the one direction. And apparently that guy was pretty smart not to kick back, right? So there was an action going in two directions. But when you have the words one another, you've got a reciprocal pronoun, indicates there's mutual interaction. Both sides are acting in this responsibility. And when both sides are acting, then both sides are benefiting from it. Both sides are receiving the consequences of this two-way action at the same time. Does that make any sense to us? They were kicking one another. That means they were both doing it to each other at the same time, and they were both receiving the benefits and the consequences of the action at the same time. The reason I want us to look at those two words and for us to understand that it's a reciprocal pronoun indicating action in two different directions is because I want to look at the New Testament and look in the New Testament where those two words are found together and how they relate to you and I, because the Bible says you and I are members of one another. And so if we are members of one another, that must mean there's some kind of two-way action that's supposed to be happening. That must mean there's something that you and I are supposed to be doing together and to each other at the same time. And the reason that I've put these children on the screen holding this banner, because on one side, you've got somebody holding a banner. On the other side, you've got another person holding the banner. And one another indicates, the two words one another indicate, that you need people on both sides of the banner for the two-way action to exist. If one of these people drops the banner, what's going to happen? If one of these two people is not holding up their side of the banner, if one of these two people's not holding up their side of the one another, what do you have? You've got one-way action. And if you've got one-way action on a banner, what kind of action do you have? Not very good action. But throughout the New Testament, in fact, and we're not going to look at all of them, so don't get scared, but 81 times in the New Testament, you read the phrase one another. And what I want us to do this morning is to look at the attitudes that the Bible indicates, the New Testament indicates, you and I are to have towards one another. And then secondly, to look at actions that you and I are to take towards one another. First of all, I want us to look at several attitudes very briefly the Bible talks about. The first one is probably one of the first phrases that comes to your mind with the words one another in it, where the Bible tells us that you and I are to love one another. At least 16 times you read this phrase, love one another. And it's interesting that most of those times are in the Gospel of John or in the Epistles of John. The Bible says that you and I, as members of one another, you and I are to love one another. You and I are to have that agape love for each other. It's to go in both directions. You and I are to have that unselfish, unconditional love for each other, where we look out for the needs and the interests and the betterment of life to the one that we're giving the love instead of just looking at our own self. The Bible indicates that we are to not only love one another, but 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 12, Paul says that we are to increase and abound in love for one another, that we are to love one another fervently, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. When you begin to examine yourself, and I would encourage you, take a minute and look around at your brethren. It's okay. You don't have to keep looking at me. Take a minute and just look around at your brothers and sisters in Christ that are sitting here. There's like four of you doing it. And when you begin to think about the one another relationship that we have, when you begin to think about that you and I are members, not just of the body where I'm just, you know, I can just be invisible inside that body. But inside that body, you and I are members of one another. Do you love one another? Truly. Do we have agape, unconditional, unselfish love for each other? As you examine your heart, as you examine the attitude that you have towards your brethren, I want to ask you this morning, are you holding up your side of the banner? When it comes to loving one another, are you holding up your side of the banner of loving one another? I'm not asking you if somebody else is holding up the other side. That's their problem. I'm not asking you, well, you know, because we sometimes make excuses. Well, nobody else is doing it, so I don't have to do it. Nobody else has got the right attitude, so I can have a lousy attitude too. I'm not asking you if somebody else is on the other side of that banner. All you need to be concerned about is your side of the banner. When it comes to loving one another, where are you? Are you holding up your side of that two-way action that's to exist? Second attitude that you and I are to have towards one another is that we are to have compassion for one another, having compassion for each other. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it talks about the matter that we're to have compassion for each other, and the word there is the word that we get sympathy from. You and I are supposed to be sympathetic towards each other. You and I are supposed to be so involved in each other's lives and knowing what's happening in each other's lives that we can have, that we can be of one mind, be of the same mind, Romans 12 and verse 16 says, to be of the same mind towards each other. And sometimes that phrase is used in a doctrinal sense where you and I are supposed to be within the Word of God doctrinally and think the same thing. But in Romans 12 and verse 16, it's talking about this idea of sympathy. It's talking about this idea of compassion. In the previous verse, in verse 15, it says to rejoice with those who rejoice and then do what? Weep with those who weep. Is that the kind of attitude that we have with our brethren? Are you and I sympathetic? Are you and I compassionate towards one another? Are you and I ones who are of the same mind where we are concerned about each other? Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, you and I are to consider one another. The word means that I'm thinking about what your needs are. I'm thinking about what your circumstances are, what your difficulties and troubles are that you're experiencing in your life. And I'm right there for you, ready to show you compassion, because God says we are to have compassion and sympathy for one another. When it comes to this one another phrase, are you holding up your side of the banner? When it comes to this two-way action we're to have in the matter of compassion and sympathy and of considering each other's needs, are you holding up your side of that one another banner? There's a third attitude that the Bible tells us that we are to have towards each other, and that is that we are to give preference to one another. And that's probably one of the hardest things for us to do as Christians, to give preference to one another. Because we're raised and we live in a society that is so much about me. And we live in a society that's so much about centering on what I want and what I need and focusing on number one and taking care of number one. It's hard for me to take the focus off of myself and not just look at other people and not just look at my brethren, but to give preference to my brethren. Philippians chapter 2 talks about the fact that I'm not only supposed to be concerned about my own interest, but also the interest of others. Verse 4 of that chapter says that I'm not only supposed to esteem my own needs, but I am to esteem more highly than my own needs the needs of others. Do we do that? Are you and I ones who are clothed with humility? 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, are we submissive to one another? The Bible tells us that we are to be courteous, that we are to be humble and courteous in our dealings, in our treatments, and our attitudes towards one another. As you begin to examine your interaction with your brethren, as you begin to examine your attitude towards your brethren, as you begin to examine this thought of giving preference to one another, brethren, are you holding up your side of that banner? Are you holding up your side of that two-way action that God requires of us? Are you the one who's giving preference to your brethren? And again, it's not a matter of what somebody else is doing on the other side of that banner. We all have a responsibility to each other. We all depend on each other to hold up that banner together. But where it starts in the action is with me. Do you give preference to your brethren? Are you one, in the fourth place, are you one who is kindly affectionate to one another? Are you one, in Ephesians 4, verse 32, who is tenderhearted? When you have dealings with your brothers and sisters in Christ, is it coming out of a heart of tenderness? Is it coming out of a heart of kindness? Is it coming out of a heart of gentleness when you have those interactions? When you have these talks, when you have these dinners with each other this week, when you interact here at the building, are we ones who are loving one another? Are we ones who are showing kindness to one another? Are we ones who are showing tenderness? Are you and I holding up our side of that one another banner? The Bible talks about the fact that you and I are to be bearing with one another. It just means we're supposed to be patient. And again, that's one of those hard things to do, because even when we are members of one another, there's still some times where our brethren can do something that just really gets us. The Bible says we are to be bearing with one another. We're to be long-suffering. We are to be patient with one another in our dealings with those that we love, with those that we are members together with those that we belong to within the body of Christ. Are you holding up your side of that banner that's asking that God ask you to have patience with one another? Final attitude I want us to look at this morning is in Ephesians 4:32. That verse says to be kind to one another, be tenderhearted, and be forgiving of one another. And I thought about putting this on the action side of this lesson, but before you can have the action of forgiving one another, brethren, we first got to have the heart. We first have to have the attitude that is desirous of forgiving one another. The rest of that verse says, forgiving one another even as God in Christ has forgiven you. There's our standard. There's our measure of how we're to forgive each other. And we look at how much God has forgiven us. Brethren, how forgiving are you? Sometimes our brethren will do something against us, And sometimes they don't even know that we're upset about it. Sometimes they don't even realize that we're a little miffed at what they have done. And sometimes we'll hold a grudge, we'll hold an ill feeling toward a brother or sister in Christ who we're members of one another with. Sometimes we'll hold that for years. Brethren, we're members of the body of Christ. We are members of one another who depend on each other, who rely on each other, who need each other to go to heaven. We need to have a heart. We need to have an attitude that is willing to forgive each other. Let me talk just briefly about some actions that God gives us to have towards one another. The first action is what we're emphasizing this month, and that is having fellowship with one another. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, and this is not a commandment to have fellowship with one another, but it's more the result. The result is that if we walk in the light as Jesus, as Christ is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. How does that happen? Because if you and I are both walking in the same direction, if you and I are both walking after the same example of Christ, if you and I are both walking in the same light of the gospel of Christ, walking by the same standard, trying to do the same thing, then at the very same time, you and I have fellowship with one another. Romans chapter 15 and verse 7 says, here's another one another verse, we are to receive one another. We are to welcome, we are to accept one another. And that's what we're trying to emphasize in this month of hospitality. Hospitality is not just about having somebody in your home. It's about having a heart that's desirous of receiving, of having fellowship with our brethren. But I know some of us look out at our brethren, and we can look around here, and we might even identify some of our own brethren that we don't want to have fellowship with. Brethren, we are members of one another. There's not a single one of us who's more important than another. There's not a single one of us who means more to Christ than another. Within the body of Christ, we are members of one another. We don't need to show partiality to our brethren. Just because someone is of a different age than you, just because someone is of a different gender than you, just because someone is of a different economic status than you, just because somebody is of a different maturity level than you, just because someone is of a different a spiritual level than you, just because someone, and you fill in the blank, just because someone is a different race than you, brethren doesn't give us a responsibility or a right to not have fellowship with one another. We don't need to show partiality to our brethren. There's a lot of us in here who have been Christians. We've been members of this body. We've been members of one another for decades. And so most of the time we have fellowship. We have communion with each other. We have hospitality with each other, with those others who have been members of the body of Christ for decades. And all the while, those of you who have been members of the body of Christ, members of one another for only a matter of weeks or months, sometimes you're lost sight of. For those of you who have been members of the body of Christ for decades, I beg of you to start looking out to those members of Christ who have just been added to the body and have fellowship with them. Receive them, welcome them, accept them, show hospitality towards them. The Bible tells us not only to have fellowship with one another, but the Bible indicates to us that we are to serve one another. The word there is the word in the noun form that was used for slave. You and I, as members of the body of Christ, are to be serving each other as slaves. You know, when Jesus bent down with that towel and that basin of water and started washing his disciples' feet, what do you think went through their heads? Jesus was serving them. In fact, he told them in Matthew 20 that he didn't come to be served, but to serve. That needs to be our attitude. That needs to be our action. Not to be ones who are waiting for that road to run in one direction. Remember, one another is a reciprocal pronoun that requires action to take place in both directions. Sometimes we're waiting for that service to come towards us instead of stepping up, holding our side of the banner, and making sure we are serving one another going in that direction. There are burdens that our brethren are bearing that Galatians 6 verse 2 says we need to bear. Bear one another's burdens. There are opportunities within our own congregation for us to comfort one another, those who are going through difficult times. Brethren, there are opportunities abounding around us for us to hold up our side of that banner and to serve one another if we'll just go looking for them. God's not just asking for us to be some kind of social society. He's not looking for the church to just be some kind of recreational society where we just get together once a week and we eat a little bread and we drink a little juice and we have a little fun together and then we leave and we won't see each other for another week. God put Christians into the body of Christ to be members not just of the body, but to be members of one another, having fellowship with one another, serving one another. And the Bible says that we are to be edifying one another, building each other up. Folks, there's not a single one of us who doesn't need to be built up as a Christian. There's not a single one of us who doesn't need to have our spiritual growth encouraged by our brethren. You know, if we were some isolated Christian out here all by ourselves, then it would be up to us and our own selves to encourage our own spiritual growth. But when we're members of one another, brethren, we've got a responsibility in a two-way direction to help each other. We've got a responsibility to build each other up. We've got a responsibility to exhort and to urge one another to do what's right. You know, sometimes we see brethren who are erring. Sometimes we see brethren who are not making the best of choices, and we sit back and we think, boy, I hope they'll get it right one of these days. We're to edify one another, exhort one another. We are, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, not only to consider one another and not just say, oh, poor sister so-and-so, she's having a hard time. Poor brother so-and-so, he's making some bad choices. We're to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Brethren, are you holding up your side of that banner? There are times when we must admonish one another. There are times when we must warn one another about the destructive paths that we're headed. And it's up to us to not wait for someone to come and talk to us, but to open up those pathways so that there's that reciprocal pronoun of us having that action going in both directions. Fellowship with one another, serving one another, edifying one another, James 5 and verse 16, praying for one another. The first part of that verse talks about confessing our trespasses, our faults to one another. When was the last time you asked a brother or sister in Christ to pray for you? When was the last time you went to one of these people that you're members of one another with and you said, I'm really having a hard time with this. Will you please pray for me? Folks, we're not some isolated Christian out here who's trying to live a life independently. We're members of one another, not only supposed to be asking people to pray for us, but the rest of James 5:16 says, but also to pray for one another. How often do you pray for your brethren? How often do you pray by name for your brothers and sisters in Christ? How often do you pray by name for the elders of this church? Folks, if it's not every day, I beg of you to pray every day for the elders of this church. How often do you pray by name for the preachers and the deacons of this church? How often do you pick up one of these announcement sheets that's in the pew in front of you and pray for these people by name? We're not just some independent Christian trying to live a life. We are members of one another who have a responsibility, a reciprocal responsibility to each other to pray for each other. And the final action I want us to look at this morning is that one that's found in Ephesians 5:19. And that's what we're doing this morning. Ephesians 5:19 talks about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Worship is an opportunity for reciprocal action. Worship is an opportunity for us to teach and admonish one another through our songs. God is the one who designed congregational singing. If you're visiting here this day, perhaps you've noticed that there's no choir here. It's not because the Church of Christ came up with congregational singing. It's because the God of heaven came up with congregational singing in these passages where he says to speak to one another. And so when we sing these songs, when we sing these songs of praise to God, we're not only singing and having our hearts directed towards God, but our psalms, our hymns, our spiritual songs are speaking to one another. They're teaching, they're admonishing each other. And so when somebody says, well, you know, I'm an insignificant part, I'm an insignificant member, I'm not important, it doesn't matter if I go to worship or not. We don't understand that we're members of one another. And as members of one another, we need each other. We depend on each other. There's not a single member of this church that is not important to this church. Brethren, as I begin to read through the New Testament and read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, you see it also in Ephesians chapter 4, this idea of being members of one another, it makes me glad that I am a member of the body of Christ. Because as a member of the body of Christ, I have Christ as my head. I've got a new relationship with Christ. As a member of that body of Christ, the Bible says that I have salvation. My sins have been washed away. I'm a child of God. I have so many blessings that belong to me because I'm a member of the body of Christ, and for that I'm thankful. But as a member of this congregation, I'm glad when I read Romans 12 and verse 5 and Ephesians 4 and verse 25 that says, at Palm Beach Lakes, that you and I are members of one another. We belong to each other. And of all the congregations on the face of this earth, while I am a member of one another, and that includes every Christian on the face of this earth, he and I are members of one another. I'm thankful that in this local place, that you and I are members of each other. We belong to each other. And that we are here to help each other get to heaven. Brethren, there's two people required to hold up that banner. Are you holding up your side of that one another banner? If there are some attitudes in your life that need to change, I beg of you to change them. If there are some actions that you need to start taking in your life in order to fulfill these one another passages, I beg of you to take them. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who's not a member of the body of Christ. The Bible tells us very plainly how we can become a member of His body. It starts by having faith in our hearts, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And when we have that faith, it will cause us to repent. It will cause us to turn away from the wrong in our life. It'll cause us not to want to serve self anymore. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I want to serve Him. And I will confess my faith that He is the Son of God. And in order to become a member of the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 says that we have all been baptized by one Spirit into one body. There's only one way to be added by God to the body of Christ. There's only one way to become a member of one another. That's to be baptized. At that very moment, to have your sins washed away, be added by God to His body, be added by God to the book of life. If you haven't done that this morning, I beg of you to do it. If you have done that and you are a member of the body of Christ, you have done those things that are required of you to be added by God to the body, and yet perhaps you have not been fulfilling the responsibilities of being a member of one another. Perhaps your life has not been that exemplary life of Christ that it ought to be. Or perhaps you just want to ask your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you. If there's anything that we can do to help you this morning to get your life right with Christ, please come as together we stand and sing.